Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our virtual Mishnah Berurah share. We are holding in Mishnah Berurah Chelek Gimel, and Mirs Hashem, today we will be learning Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph. We are continuing to learn Hilchos Shabbos. We pick up today on Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, three lines off the bottom, Simen Shin Zayin Sif Yud Ches. Again, I apologize in advance that today's share is going to be audio only due to circumstances beyond my control. Our learning today should be a schus for Achenu Kobeis Yisrael, Hanasudim Batsaru Bashivya, Ha'im Dim Bain Bayamu Bain Bayabosha, Hamakim Yerachim Alehim, Mitzim, Mitzar Lirvacha, Mefela La'iro, Mishibud Lugula, Hashta Bagolo, Vizban Kariv, Vinaymar Amen. I remember years ago, there was a period of time where there had been Nabach a lot of terrorist attacks in Eretz Yisrael. And a delegation came to Reb David Feinstein, Zichrono Livracha, to ask him about kind of putting in place a decree that every minyan should say certain kapitlach of Tehillim after davening on a steady basis. And Reb David was a little bit bewildered, and Reb David's response was, if we're trying to be mispal to the Rebbeinu Shalom because of tzaros that are going on in Eretz Yisrael, the very first thing you should tell everybody is that they should have extra kavana when they say the long tachnun on Monday and Thursday. And definitely they should not be in the habit of trying to find excuses to avoid tachnun because of this yard site or that yard site or any of these kind of things. I see that things are heating up in Eretz Yisrael. Once again, we need all the shmira that we can get. So following Reb David Zatzal's lead, I would urge everyone that on Monday and Thursday, when you daven the long tachnun, give it a little extra thought. Take out some form of art scroll, sitter, an interlinear, or otherwise, and pay attention to the meaning of the words. And you'll see it's such beautiful tefillas, and a lot of it does center around Eretz Yisrael. Our learning should be aschus refuah shalema from our Shemam and Esther Fradel, Yitzchak ben Tzion ben Dusha, Rivka Bashir Lech, Avadasa Bas Seril. They should have a refuah shalema b'sar Sharchel Yisrael. Our learning should be aschus for Yonasan ben Michal, Yoel ben Michal, the Rabbeinu Shalom should watch over them together with all of our other brothers and sisters who find themselves in harm's way, b'chal makayim shehen. Okay, so let's start first with the easier material. So, in case you were wondering, in case you had a halacha shaila, let's take a look here at what the Mechaber says in Shin Zayin Sif Yud Ches. Lishoil min hashed, to ask a question of a shade, of a, I guess the only English word that I would know to apply to the word shade is demon, even though I don't know that that's really accurate. But lishal min hashed, to ask a question of a shade, masha mutter b'chol, mutter b'shabbos, whatever you are allowed to ask of a shade during the week, and it doesn't involve any questions of kishuf, you would be allowed to ask on Shabbos. So the Mechaber is telling us here that there is no inherent hilchos Shabbos iser involved in requesting information from a shade, in case you are wondering. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Ois Katan Samuch Zayin, Masha Mutter, it's an alarmer. What the Mechaber wants to say here is, Diyesh Dvarim She'asurim Af B'chol. There are things that you are not allowed to ask of a shade, even during the week. Mipnei Shehem B'chol Kishuf, because they would be included in the Isurim involved in Kishuf. V'yesh Dvarim She'asurim Mipnei Asakana. Then there are things that you're not allowed to ask a shade, because it may bring you to danger. L'das Reb Yosi k'di Issa B'gemara, like the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin Kof Aleph Amud Aleph. V'alkein Amar, and therefore the Mechaber says, Didvarim hamutarim b'chol, whatever is mutter to ask of a shade during a weekday, mutter af b'Shabbos is mutter on Shabbos as well. V'ayin b'magan Avram, u'shayir achreinim she'eskimu, t'dafka mishum refuah shari, the Magan Avram, other achreinim, say that this heter only applies to things that involve refuah, avobalav hachi aser, mishum mimtsai cheftzacha, any other kind of requests of a shade would be incorporated into the iser of mimtsai cheftzacha. Okay, now let's move on to some more difficult material. And again, in the interests of full disclosure, I'm going to urge the halachas that we're learning over here are very, very complex, and they're really beyond the scope of a simple, page a day in Mishneh Berurah. I could give you the basic background. I could give you the basic information. I could tell you what the Mishneh Berurah is saying over here. I could give you some direction when it comes to halacha lemaisa. But when you do have a shaila that involves these very complex halachas, I urge everyone, use the information that you gather during this shir as a backdrop. It should give you the ability to know when you must ask a shaila, how to ask an intelligent shaila, what information you need to give over, etc. But please, if a shaila comes up, halacha lemaisa, go to your rav, ask a specific shaila in your specific case, and receive a psak, halacha lemaisa. Says the Mechaber Sif Yud Tes, Sechaira hanifsedes b'shabes al yidei geshamim oy davar acher. If you have merchandise, if you have inventories that stand to be ruined on Shabbos through rain or through something else, I also bitka demaya umafsid b'moynoi. What's a bitka demaya? Says the Rama here in the parentheses, pirush nachal oy agam mayim. If a stream or a creek is overflowing, umafsid b'moynoi. So you have a warehouse in a low-lying area, or it doesn't have to be business inventory. It could be your garage. Maybe you have your wooden sukkah panels or whatever it is in your garage and you live in a low-lying area. And now there's been some severe rainstorms and the flooding is coming and you're afraid that you're going to take a serious financial hit. Your basement is going to flood. It doesn't have to be your garage. So you have over here, you stand to take a loss on Shabbos because of rain, because of flooding, or something similar, continues the Mechaber on the bottom line. Maybe you have a large wooden cask of wine. The barrel is weakened, it's nisrayah. Somehow it's springing a leak, and now all the wine is going to leak out and go li'ibud. Mutter likrais eino yehudi. You're allowed to call over a goy. You're allowed to call over an eino yehudi. Now you're not telling, in this instance, you're not telling the Eino Yehudi what to do. You're calling the Eino Yehudi over, and you're telling him, look what's going on here. Even though you understand very clearly that by calling the Eino Yehudi is going to come, he's going to do what he needs to do in order to prevent you from taking a loss. Let's take a look here at the Mishneh Berurah back on Kuf Gimel on the base, says the Mishneh Berurah is cut in Samaches. Sechaira hanifsedes. U'misayim al zeh, the Mechaber concludes that in these cases where your property, your possessions, are going to get ruined, u'misayim al zeh, the Mechaber concludes, the yachal likrais le'eni Yehudi, you're allowed to call over the Eini Yehudi. And says the Mishneh Berurah, this means you're allowed to call over the Eini Yehudi, Vahainu afilu im yitzarech lazeh lasos melacha daraisa. You're allowed to call over the Eino Yehudi, even if the Eino Yehudi is going to do isurei daraisa in order to prevent you from taking a loss. So maybe the water is coming to the house and you have basement windows in window wells and the water is about to go over into those window wells and flood the house, and you call over the Eino Yehudi and he's going to grab a shovel and he's going to start digging, and he's going to create an earthen berm around the windows to your basement. This is going to involve Isurei Daraisa. Or, says the Mishneh Berurah, Kigayin Lohitzi Mirishos HaYakid L'Rishos HaRabim. Or, maybe what the Eino Yehudi is going to do is he's going to go into your garage, which is a Rishos HaYakid, and he's going to empty out the possessions from the garage out to the Rishos HaRabim. And then he's going to take it in his truck, and he's going to drive it over to his warehouse. So there's all sorts of Isurei Daraisa going on over here. Ukehai Gavda. This is what the Mechaber is being matir. So in a nutshell, the Mishneh Berurah is telling you, understand what the Mechaber is being matir over here in Sif Yud Tes. You stand to take a serious financial hit by your possessions getting ruined. You're allowed to call over the Eino Yehudi, even though you know that by calling over the Eino Yehudi, he's going to do malacha da'araisa in order to save you. Ukehagav, not to save you, but to save your possessions. And explains the Mishneh Berurah, it has to be that the Mechaber is coming to be matir a case where the Ein Yehudi is going to perform Yisiri Daraisa. Dilu tiltol muktza ba'alma. Because if we're talking about a case where the Ein Yehudi is only going to do things that are awesome in Darabanan, like he's going to handle merchandise that is muktza, muktza is an issa Darabanan, Oymer Rishos HaYachid LeKarmelis, or the Ein Yehudi is going to take your possessions out of the Rishos HaYachid, and he's not going to bring it out into a bona fide Rishos HaRabim. He's only going to take it out to a Rishos that's not a real Rishos HaRabim. He's going to take it out to a Karmelis. So Haitzah from a Rishos HaYachid to a Karmelis is only an issa Darabanan. If that would be the case, then I wouldn't need the Mechaber to come tell me this new heter. And to tell me a heter that you're allowed to call over an Ein Yehudi, even though you know the Ein Yehudi is going to do these things. Because in that case, afilu litzava isla Ein Yehudi behedya, sheyase zegamken muter. If all you want from the Ein Yehudi is that he should perform something that's an issa d'rabbanan in order to save your possessions, you don't have to say, oh, you could call him over, even though you know he's going to do the malacha. You could call him over and you could tell him, go take out the stuff from the garage and put it into the Karmelis. You could tell him to do an issa d'rabbanan. You could tell him to pick up the possessions that are muktza and move them somewhere else. Lefi amavur le'el b'sif hei, im yesh pazeh hefsid gadol. Because we already learned in this very simon, in sif hei, the Mechaber told us that when it comes to an issa d'rabbanan, amira la'akum on an issa d'rabbanan is a shvus d'shvus. It's a double d'rabbanan. And we learned that a shvus d'shvus b'mokum tzorech harbei is mutter. And we learned the Mishnah Berurah who brought down the Magen Avraham. What does that mean? That means that if you're going to take a hefsid gadol, if you're going to suffer a serious financial, a significant financial loss, you're allowed to do a mir la'akum on a derabanan. So we don't need a new heter over here and a limited heter, which is that you could call over the Ein Yehudi without instructing him. We don't need that heter on a derabanan. So what's the heter that the Mechaber is giving me here? The Mechaber is telling me that if you have to prevent the suffering of a significant financial loss, you could call over an Ein Yehudi, even though you know the Ein Yehudi is going to do malacha daraisa. It's still mutter to do that. Now let's go to Mishnah Berurah's Katan Samech Tes on Kuftal Ramad Aleph, and Mishnah Berurah will tell us why this is mutter. Mutter likrois, v'chein mutter. We didn't do the v'chein mutter yet, but let's see what the Mishnah Berurah says over here. The reason this is mutter is to be toisha ada bohol al memoinai, since a person tends to become panicked when he sees that he's going to suffer a serious financial loss. Eloi sharis le afilu ba'ifanim elu. If you're not going to give him this heter, if you're not going to give him the heter of calling over an Ein Yehudi and allowing him to do what he needs to do, we're afraid that chas v'chalila, the Yisrael will come to do the Yisrei Daraisa on his own in order to save his money. And Chazal understood that that's a very tough pickle to put a person into, to put a person in a situation where he's going to see the water cascading into his basement and he's taking a serious, significant financial hit. And you're going to tell him that he can't ask an Ein Yehudi, not ask, he can't call over an Ein Yehudi so that the Ein Yehudi can do what he needs to do. The Chazal said, that you have to allow. And now let's go to the second line in the Mechaber here in Kuftal and Amad Aleph, where the Mechaber says he extends this heter. The first heter that the Mechaber gave you over here was that you could call over an Ein Yehudi, right? So you see Tony, you could say, Tony, look what's going on over here. Even though you know Tony's going to do Yisirei Daraisa in order to help you. So now, says the Mechaber, V'chein, similarly, Mutter Loimar Le'ena Yehudi, you could say to the Ena Yehudi, Kol Hamatzil, you can make an announcement, Kol Hamatzil Enoi Mafsid, whoever saves my stuff won't lose out. Now, what does that kind of mean, right? It kind of means that what you're saying is, look, save my stuff, I'll take care of you. But that's not what you're saying, right? You're being maram, is it? You're saying, kol hamatzil einam afsid. Anybody who saves my stuff is not going to lose. Okay, says the Mechaber, you're allowed to do that. K'may b'tleika, this is the same as what we're matir, chas v'chalilu, in the case of a fire, she'itira loymar, where Chazal were matir to say, kol hamechabe, anybody who extinguishes the fire, Einai Mafsid. Over there, you're even mentioning the malacha. You're saying, you're mentioning the act of kivui, the act of extinguishing. Kala matzil einai mafsid, you're not even mentioning the act that you want them to do. You're not mentioning the malacha. You're not saying anybody who digs a berm won't lose. You say, kala matzil, anybody who saves my stuff won't lose. But whatever it is, you're allowed to do this in the case of a financial, of a significant loss. But the Mechaber says, "V'yesh b'sha'omer shalei yitira ela b'tlei kadafka." There are those who are more machmir and say that you're only allowed to do this in the case of a fire. V'ayel kabon simin shin lamedalus of chavav, where we describe this in greater detail, says the Mishnah Berurah is cut in ayin aleph. V'yesh b'sha'omer says the Mishnah Berurah va'mekel loy hifsid. Somebody who acts leniently, following the first opinion of the Mechaber over here, will not lose. In other words, you could be Mekel in such a situation. So rules the Mechaber later on in Simon Shin Lamed Aleph. As far as the first heter of the Mechaber here in Sif Yotes, just to call over the Ein Yehudi, Tony, look what's going on over here. That, the Mishnah Berurah says, l'kuli al-mashari. That's definitely mutter. It's the second case of the Mechaber, where the Mechaber extends the heter, and he says, you're not only calling over the Ein Yehudi, Tony, look what's going on over here. Instead, what you're doing is you're making an announcement, anybody who saves my stuff won't lose. That's much closer to a direct request for help. That's where we have over here this question, does that apply only by a fire, or does it apply to something like a flood also? And that's where the Mishnah Berurah says, v'hamekel loy hifsid. Okay, moving along to Sifchaf. Yisrael sha'amar le'eni Yehudi lasos loy malacha b'shabbos. If a Yid does instruct an Ein Yehudi to perform malacha for him on Shabbos, which you're not allowed to do, but if a Yisrael does do that, mutar loy lehanes ba la'erev, the Yisrael is allowed to get hana from the malacha that the Ein Yehudi did when? Bichtei sheyeyasu. When enough time passes on Motzei Shabbos that malacha could have been accomplished after Shabbos. So a Yid asked or instructed an Ein Yehudi to do something for him on Shabbos. He's not allowed to receive benefit from that malacha that was done for him on Shabbos. He certainly is not allowed to get hana from that malacha on Shabbos. But not only is he not allowed to get hana from that malacha on Shabbos, he's not even allowed to get hana from the malacha right after Shabbos. Why? Because if you're going to allow the Yisrael to get hana, to take benefit from the malacha that the Ein Yehudi did illicitly on Shabbos, right after Shabbos, so that means that the Yisrael is benefiting from the fact that the Ein Yehudi did the malacha for him on Shabbos. The Yisrael didn't take the benefit of that malacha on Shabbos itself, but he took the benefit of that malacha immediately after Shabbos was over. Now, had the goyim not done that on Shabbos, the Yisrael wouldn't have the ability to take that hana right after Shabbos, right? So if Yisrael instructed an Ein Yehudi to make a pizza for him on Shabbos, and now the Yid eats the pizza right after Shabbos, the only way he's getting that pizza a minute after Shabbos is over is because the Ein Yehudi did the malacha on Shabbos. Now, you are not allowed to have the Ein Yehudi make that pizza for you on Shabbos. So we're not going to let you get that hana. When could you get the hana? You could get the hana b'chtei sheyeyosu. When the amount of time passes that theoretically the pizza could have been made after Shabbos, now you could go get that hana. Because now you're not getting any hana from the fact that it was done on Shabbos. You could have this pizza now, 25 minutes after Shabbos, even if the Ein Yehudi only made it after Shabbos. So you're not getting that hana. So that's what the Mechaber tells you here. Yisrael sh'amar le'Ein Yehudi lasa malacha b'Shabbos, muta lo lihanes ba le'erev, you could get hana from that malacha on Motzei Shabbos, when? Bichtei sheyeyasu. After enough time has passed on Motzei Shabbos, that malacha could have been accomplished after Shabbos. Says the Mishnah Berurah, cut nine bays bichtei sheyeyasu. V'loi kaidim. But you're not allowed to receive benefit from that malacha before Bechdei Sheyasu. Why? We don't want you to get any additional benefit from the fact that the malacha was done on Shabbos. Because if you do get that additional benefit, then another Shabbos you might be tempted on Shabbos to ask the malacha, to ask the Ein Yehudi to do malacha for you on Shabbos. Now the Mishnah Berurah says something very important. If the Ein Yehudi did malacha for you on Shabbos, bifarhesya, in a very public way, sheyadu by rabim shenasa b'shvil Yisrael, so that the rabim, the public knows that this Ein Yehudi did work for you on Shabbos, aser la'olam, the benefit of that malacha will be forbidden forever. Afilu aser ha'Ein Yehudi me'atzmai b'shviloi, and this is true, even if the Ein Yehudi did what he did, not because you told him to do it. He did it on his own, but he did it for you on Shabbos illicitly. You're not allowed to have hanah from that. B'shem, this is what the Magen Avraham brings down from the Rambam. Uchid l'kabam b'simin shin chafesif yudalit. V'ayin shom, ashikasav d'das ataz b'shem aran, b'in yinzeh. We will discuss this detail in greater detail in Simin Shin Chafei Sif Yud Dalit. Moving on to Sif Chaf Aleph, says the Mechaber. Aser loymar le'ein Yehudi b'Shabbos, you're not allowed to say to an Ein Yehudi on Shabbos, Heilich basar zeh, take this meat. So you've got a nice steak. You're not allowed to tell an Ein Yehudi on Shabbos, here, take this steak. Heilich basar zeh, take this steak. U'bashel oisei l'tzarchecha, and go ahead and grill it for yourself. Right? So what are you doing here? You're doing a mir la'akum. You're instructing an Ein Yehudi to do the malacha daraisa of bishul. Grilling a steak would be a issa daraisa. So you're instructing an Ein Yehudi to do an issa daraisa. But are you asking him to do an issa daraisa for you? Not really. You're telling him, heilich basar zeh, take the meat, u'bashel oisei l'tzarchecha, and go grill it for yourself. Enjoy your steak. So you're not really doing it for you. Yet, this is usher anyway. And says the Mechaber, v'afilu eid mezainois of a love. You might think, well, okay, maybe I could understand that if this is an employee of yours and you supply him with his food, maybe it's a live-in. So by telling them, take the steak and make it for yourself, maybe that's you're really doing it for you because you're responsible to give them their food. So this is the way that you're giving them their food. Says the Mechaber, no, it's also even if it's not mezainois of a love. So, this guy has nothing to do with you. And you just want to treat him for some reason. So you give him a nice, you tell him, here, I have a beautiful prime steak here in the freezer. Go take it and grill it for yourself. You're not allowed to do that. Says the Mishnah, you know what, let's do the Ramah first. Says the Ramah Hagah, Aval, however, Mutar loy maloy, you're allowed to tell the Ein Yehudi, Lasais malacha la'atzmai, to go do work for himself. Now, what the Ramah is being matir over here is a different case. What the Ramah is saying is, the Mechaber's case was, you have a steak in the freezer, you're telling the Ein Yehudi here, take my steak and go grill yourself a beautiful prime steak. That, the Mechaber says, is aser. The Ramah says, but you know what's mutter? Let's say you don't have a steak, the Ein Yehudi has a steak. So, you know, Tony, your neighbor, showed you on Friday that he just bought himself a beautiful prime piece of meat. And now you're coming home from shul, Shabbos afternoon, and you see your neighbor, Tony, in the front yard, and you turn to him and you tell him, hey, Tony, why don't you take that nice steak that you showed me yesterday and make yourself a steak? So you're telling him to grill a steak the same way you were telling him to grill a steak in the Mechaber's case. In the Ramah's case, you're also telling him to grill a steak. The critical difference is that in the Mechaber's case, the steak is your steak. You're taking your steak, you're giving it to the Ein Yehudi and telling him to grill it. Now, even if you give the steak as a present to the Ein Yehudi so that when he grills it, it's no longer yours, it's his, this is still aser. Because the steak originated from you. It was your steak. You're giving him a steak and you're telling him go grill it. That's what's aser. The Ramah says what's mutter is, If there's no connection to you, it's his steak, it's his grill, he's going to eat it. You're just telling him, hey, why don't you go grill yourself a steak? That, the Rama says, is mutter. Let's take a look here in the Mishnah Berurah, Eis Katan Ein Gil. Aser Loimar Le'ena Yehudi explains the Mishnah Berurah, you know why this is Aser? The Kevin Cha'isei Dover Cha'omer Le'ena Yehudi Lasseis Bishvel Atzmai, who ain't a Yochel Ba'atzmai Lasseis? First, let's do the math, right? The bottom line. You are instructing the Ein Yehudi to do something, to grill a steak, that you yourself are not allowed to do on Shabbos. So who bechal Amir Le'ena Yehudi Shvus? The golden rule of Amir La'akum is, you are not allowed to instruct an Ein Yehudi to do anything on Shabbos that you yourself are not allowed to do. Okay, now, the Usser, and therefore the Mechaber says, this is Usser, afal pi she'enoi mishaneh ha'Yisrael klal b'malachazu. This is Usser, despite the fact that the Israel is not receiving any benefit from the malacha that's being done. You're telling Tony, go grill yourself a steak. You're not going to eat the steak. Tony's going to eat the steak. So what the Mishnah Berurah is saying is like this. You want to know why the Mechaber's case is Usser? Well, let's do the math. You're telling an Ein Yehudi to do something on Shabbos, grill a steak, that you yourself are not allowed to do. Okay, that's Amir La'akum 101. The Chiddush over here is, it's Usser, even though Tony's the one that's going to eat the steak, and you're not going to get any Hanah from it. Now continues the Mishnah Berurah, and he dives into the Ramah. Vafa pike, even though the Mechaber's case is Usser, Mutter Loimar Lailasis Balacha La'atzmai, the Ramah comes and says, you are allowed to go tell Tony to do something completely for himself. Kigoin, for example, Sheyomaloi, you tell him, Kach Basar Shelecha, take your steak, Ubashaloi Soilitzarchecha, and cook it for yourself, Ukahai Gavna, or anything similar. So you could tell Tony, hey, your grass is getting tall. Go cut your grass. It's his grass. It's his lawnmower. It's his property. Now, are you allowed to cut grass on Shabbos? No, absolutely not. So you are telling Tony to do something that you yourself are not allowed to do on Shabbos. The same thing is the steak. If you tell him, Tony, why don't you take your steak and go cook it? You're telling him to do something that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, but over here there's a critical difference. The Kevin Shaloi Hoya Dover Me Oilam Shel Yisrael Klal, because this has no connection to the Yisrael. The steak never belonged to the Yid. In the Mechaber's case, the steak originated from the Yisrael. In the Ramah's case, the steak originated from the Ein Yehudi. So it's completely the Ein Yehudi's problem. The Ein Yehudi also is a gamkin rak b'shvil atzmai, and the Ein Yehudi's doing it for himself. So now, over here, the case that I gave about cutting the grass, you have to be a little bit careful. If you want the Ein Yehudi to cut his grass because the length of his grass is bothering you, because the house next door to you looks like a shmata, that's a bigger shiloh. But let's say Tony doesn't live next door to you. Let's say Tony lives 3 blocks away, and you're just walking by on the way back from shul, and he gives you a friendly hello, and you stop and you chat for him for a couple of minutes, and you notice that his grass is very tall, and you say, I see you sitting around, why don't you cut your grass? Right? So you're not getting any hana, and it's his grass, and it's his lawnmower. You're not getting hana. It has nothing to do with you. Loi gazra lav iser damir le'ein Yehudi. Over here, there wouldn't be an iser d'rabbanon of amir la'akum. And to understand this, you just have to remember the underpinnings of the iser of amir la'akum. One of the main underpinnings of the iser of amir la'akum is, we don't want you to be able to instruct an Ein Yehudi to do malacha for you on Shabbos because we are afraid that if you're going to be able to accomplish malacha through the agency of telling it to an Ein Yehudi, you might come to do it by yourself. It might be viewed that he's your shliach, that he's your agent. But that's not negeya when the Ein Yehudi, when you're completely isolated from the malacha. When it's his steak, and he's cooking it, and he's eating it, what are we going to say? You made him a shliach to go make his own steak and eat his own steak? That doesn't make any sense. We're going to say that we're afraid that if you're able to accomplish cooking that steak on Shabbos, you might cook yourself a steak on Shabbos? That also doesn't seem like a reasonable chash. So in these cases, the Ramah's telling you, there is no iser of amira la'akum. Oiskot Ayin Dalet. The Mechaber said, you're not allowed to tell this to an Ein Yehudi on Shabbos. You're not allowed to tell him, take my steak and go make it for yourself. Ayin Bel Yerabah, take a look at the El Yerabah, Sheikh B'Taisis, who proves from a Taisis and Bab Metzia, Var Rosh, and from a Rosh, to after Erev Shabbos, also Lite Lady Yehudi Veloy Meloy Sheyavashal, B'Shabbos La'atzmai. You can't hand Tony a steak on Erev Shabbos and say, here, take a steak. Make it for yourself for supper tonight, you know, after Shabbos starts. You can't do that either. Okay, now we go to Sif Chaf Beis. Now, Sif Chaf Beis is the main reason that I said what I said at the beginning of the shir, which is that if you have shilas that involve what we're going to discuss over here in Sif Chaf Beis, you need to go ask a shila. Says the Mechaber, Sif Chaf Beis. Kol shvus derabanan, anything that is only aser midrabanan to do on Shabbos, mutter ben ashmoshes litzorich mitzvah. You are allowed to do those things during the period of ben ashmoshes on Friday evening going into Shabbos if it is being done litzorich mitzvah. So first of all, let's just discuss for a moment the question of when exactly is Bein Hashmashas. I'm not going to go into now the whole machlokes of Zmanim that we've gone through already many times, the Rabbeinu Tam, the Gra, exactly what's called Shkia, is exactly what's called Tzeisak Echavim. This is not the place to go through all of that again. I will just tell you that as far as the practical halacha is concerned, definitely according to Rav Moshe, Zechet Tzadik Levracha, the period of Bein Hashmashas, in the context of this halacha, in the context of Simin Shin Zayin Sif Chav Beis, the heter to do an Issid Rabbanon during Ben Ashmashas and Friday evening when Shabbos is coming in, that period begins with what we call Shkia, sunset, regular sunset, and a half, and continues for a half an hour. So for that first half hour after Shkia, we're going to call that Bein Hashmashas. And what the Mechaber is telling you over here is, during that time period, if there is a need to do something that is only Aser Midrabanan on Shabbos, and there's a need to do it Litzarech Mitzvah, it's mutter to do that thing which would normally be Aser Midrabanan. Kigoin, for example, says the Mechaber, Loimar le'en Yehudi lahadlik loiner bein hashmashes. Let's say you want to do amira la'akum on an iser daraisa. So to instruct an ein Yehudi to do something that's also midaraisa, like lighting a ner, right? Lighting a ner is an iser daraisa. But for you to instruct an Eini Yehudi to light an air is only an Issa Darabanan. But it's a single Darabanan. It's not a double Darabanan. It's one Darabanan. You're doing an Issa Darabanan of Amira La'akum on a Daraisa. If you need to do that, Litzarech Mitzvah, you are allowed to do that. So what would be Litzarech Mitzvah? Well, let's say it's pitch black in the house and you need to be able to eat the Suda Shabbos. So you need a ner for the Suda Shabbos. So if it's 10 minutes after Shkia, you could go and you could directly instruct an Ein Yehudi to go light a ner. If you have Yahrzeit on Shabbos and you didn't light a Yahrzeit licht, the Paiskim say, the first half hour after Shkia, Bein Hashmashas, you could instruct an Ein Yehudi to light the Yahrzeit licht for you. If your wife somehow failed to light Shabbos licht, you could instruct an Ein Yehudi to light the Shabbos licht for that first half hour after Shkia. I would extend this also if it's 98 degrees and humid outside and the air conditioning is not on in the dining room, we're going to eat the Shabbos Suda. The first half hour after Shkia, you could instruct an Ein Yehudi to turn on the air conditioning. You could instruct an Ein Yehudi to go turn on the lights. You could instruct an Ein Yehudi to put the chalent on the blech. You neglected to put the chalent on the blech. You could instruct an Ein Yehudi to put the chalent on the blech. You could instruct an Ein Yehudi to turn off the light in the bedroom when the light in the bedroom was left on. Again, the first half hour after Shkia. So it's Ben Ashmoshes. You could instruct the Ein Yehudi to go turn off the bedroom light. So these would be some examples where it would be mutter. You could tell him to turn on the lights in the dining room. If the lights are off at the dining room, you could tell him to turn on the lights in the dining room. All of these things would be cases where you're allowed to tell the Ein Yehudi to do something. Even if it's a malacha daraisa, you could tell him to do it. You could tell him to boil up water on Erev Shabbos during that first half hour after Shkia. You could tell him to go boil up water if it's Litzayrich Shabbos. You realize you didn't put on the urn. So you want to tell the Ein Yehudi, boil up a pot of water, pour it into the urn so that we can have coffee tomorrow. You're allowed to do that during the first half hour after Shkia. Again, let's read it inside in the Mechaber. Kol Shvus D'Rabbanan, any Issa D'Rabbanan, is Mutter Ben Ashmoshes Litzayri Shabbos, Kegoin Loimer L'Ein Yehudi Ladik L'Ner Ben Ashmoshes. For example, instructing an Ein Yehudi to light an air, which is an Issa D'Raisa, but it's a Mir La'akam and an Issa D'Raisa, so it's only D'Rabbanan. Now, says the Mechaber, Oy, or, Im Haya Tarud, if it's a hectic Erev Shabbos, and you've been very busy and very taken up, and you're rushing, and you're hassled, and you're harried, V'hutzrich La'aser Ben Hashmashois, you have produce that you didn't separate Maisris from. Now, separating Maiser on Shabbos is an Issur D'Rabbanan of Tikkun Maneh. You're repairing something. How are you repairing something? Because you have produce that you're not allowed to eat because of Maisris. By going ahead and separating Maisris, you're repairing the food. You're making it available for eating. That's an Issur D'Rabbanan of Tikkun Maneh, says the Mechaber. If it was a very hectic Erev Shabbos and you're all harried and hassled, and now you realize that you didn't separate the Maisris, you yourself could go ahead and separate the Maisris during Ben Ashmoshes, even though you are doing something that is also b'derabanan on Shabbos. You're allowed to do it during the first half hour after Shkia. Now, three very critical words here in the Mechaber. When do these heterim apply? Im Haya Tarud. These heterim, and from later on in Simin, I think it's in Shin Mem Beis. I think we'll see it in the Mishnah Berurah. I believe it's in Simin Shin Mem Beis. It's going to become apparent that these words, Im Haya Tarud, they apply to both heterim of the Mechabers over here. They apply to the heter to do Amira La'akum on the Daraisa, which is a Darabanan. It applies to the idea of you separating Maisris, which is a Darabanan during Ben Ashmoshes. These are not mutter lichatchila. You're not allowed to say, oh, it's no biggie. I'll get the guy to do it during Ben Ashmoshes. No, these heterim are only Im Haya Tarud. If you ran out of time, it was the first early Shabbos of the year, and you ran out of time, and it just didn't get done, and now you need this produce gemeisert because you don't have anything else to make a salad out of. You need the light turned on. You need the light turned off. You need the air conditioner turned on. Oy vey, I can't believe we forgot to turn the air conditioner on. In those cases, you have these heterim. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Katnayin hey im haya tarud. Ayin lekabon b'simin shin mem beis. The Mishnah Berurah, I was right, I called it, it's Simon Shin Mem Beis. Okay, now let's go weiter into the Ramah, and then we're going to have a very critical Mishnah Berurah, Ois Katan Ayin Vav. Says the Ramah, Hago, Kol Dovar She'asar Loimar Le'eni Yehudi La'asoysay B'Shabbos, anything that you're not allowed to tell an Eini Yehudi to do on Shabbos, so any time that there's an Isra of Amir La'akum, any time that the Isser of Amir La'akum is in play, and this is something that you're not allowed to tell an Ein Yehudi to do, Aser Lirmoiz Lai La'asaisai. You're also not allowed to use any kind of non-verbal hinting to him to do. So, if it's Aser, because of Amir La'akum, to go tell an Ein Yehudi to turn on a light on Shabbos, right? So you're not allowed to point to the light switch. Tony, you know, and now you don't say anything. You're just pointing at the light switch. You're not allowed to do that, even though you didn't do an Amira, right? But your remiza, your hinting, your pointing at the light switch, that is the equal of an amira. Okay, now let's take a look here at Mishnah Berurah's Katnayim Vav. Aser Lirmoiz explains to Mishnah Berurah, you know why this is Aser? The Gamzehu Bechlal Amira Le'ena Yehudi. Even though the hint that you did over here was completely nonverbal, so it's hard to call it Amira La'akum, because he didn't say anything. Kevin Sha'al Yedei Rimizasai Oisa B'Shabbos. But since you're pointing at the light switch is a direct instruction to the Ein Yehudi, you know what you're doing, he knows what you're doing. It is a direct instruction. You might not have instructed it verbally, you didn't verbalize it, but, you know, you pointed. So it's a direct instruction. That is an Amira. You're also not allowed to use a type of verbal hint which is very clear what you want done. Valkane, and therefore, and the case that the Chavetz Chaim gives is going to sound like a little bit of a funny case, but the reason it's not a funny case is because this is something that they said back in the day. In the Chavetz Chaim's day, when they used candles and they used oil lamps for illumination on a steady basis, this is something that they did. Valkane, therefore, says the Chavetz Chaim, Aser loymar le'eni Yehudi, you're not allowed to tell an eni Yehudi, she'yekaneach choytmai, that he should wipe his nose, k'dei she'yavin, so that he should understand, she'yoser apecham she'baroish haner. What you're really telling him is that you have an oil lamp. Now, you know from Hanukkah, when you use your wicks on Hanukkah, sometimes the tip of the wick becomes carbonized. You get like a little coal, sort of, at the top of the wick, and that prevents the flame from burning nicely. And if you would take a pin or a tweezer or something, and you would flick off that pechem, you would flick off that coal from the tip of the wick, suddenly you get a beautiful flame. So that's what you want. It's Shabbos. And you got a coal on the tip of the wick on the oil lamp, and therefore it's not giving nice illumination. So apparently a hint that they would use in such cases is they would look at somebody and say, clean off your nose. So you're sitting by the lamp has that coal at the tip, the Ein Yehudi is there, you tell him, clean off your nose. The Ein Yehudi knows that what that means. That's code language for get the coal off the tip of the wick. So says the Mishnah Berurah, you're not allowed to do that. You know why? Because that's not remiza. That's Amira La'akum, right? This is code words. That's what it is. It's code language. Clean your nose is the equal, it's the equivalent of saying, flick the coal off the tip of the wick. And therefore, it's straight out Amira La'akum, and that is awesome. Now, here we have now this critical piece of Mishnah Berurah here. Ach, however, Kisha Omer HaRemiza Le'ena Yehudi. When you use hinting to an Eina Yehudi, Shaloi Balashon Tzivoy, and you don't use it using a language of command. So this is what we call Remiza, hinting, Shaloi B'derech Tzivoy. It's hinting where you're not commanding the Eina Yehudi to do anything. Now, there are two critical pieces here. One is, you're not actually telling the Ein Yehudi to do anything. The other one is, you're also not mentioning what malacha needs to be done. Kegoin, for example, says the Chavetz Chaim, Sha'omer, you tell an Ein Yehudi, Haner Einoi Meir Yotheh. The lamp is not burning nicely. Okay, let's take a look at what we did here. Did you instruct the Ein Yehudi to do anything? No. You didn't tell him to do anything. You didn't ask him to do anything. You made a comment. The lamp's not burning nicely. Now, did you mention the malacha that you wanted to do? Did you mention havara? Did you mention flicking off the coal? Did you mention kivui? You didn't mention any malacha whatsoever. So there's two critical variables here. Variable number one, this is shaloi b'derech tzivui. You didn't tell him to do anything. Not only that, you didn't even mention the malacha that you need done. Oy, or another example, says the Chavetz Chaim. Eini yachal likrois la'or haner hazeh sheyesh bei pecham. You're sitting there with a Gemara, and you look at the Eini Yehudi, and you say, you know, I can't read by this lamp. It has a coal on it. Now, did you tell him to do anything? No. Did you mention the malacha that you need done? No. All you did was you commented, I can't read over here. You know why? Because there's a coal on the tip of the wick. That's all you did. V'shemeya ha'en Yehudi. And the Ein Yehudi hears this. U'misaknoi. And now he goes ahead and he fixes your problem. Shari, this, says the Chafetz Chaim, is mutter. De'ein ze b'chlal amira. This is not considered amira la'akam. A remiza shaloi b'derech tzivoy. A hint that does not contain a command. And it also does not contain any mention of the malacha that you want done. That is not considered part of the Issa D'Rabbanan of Amir La'akum. Now, Rabbi Yisai, this does not mean that you could go ahead and you could use this remiza shaloi b'derech tzivui whenever you want, however you want. You need to understand what exactly this means, remiza shaloi b'derech tzivui, and exactly when it's mutter and exactly when it's not. So I'll tell you one thing that might not come to your mind. You'll say, I remember hearing in the Dishushir that remiza shaloi b'derech tzivui is mutter. And I remember one of the cases of the Mishnah Berurah was, you could say, I can't read by the lamp because it's got a coal on it. So you know what? There was a light that was left on in the bedroom. So I want the light turned off. So I'll use remiza shaloi b'derech tzivui. I'll say, I can't sleep because the light is on. That's remiza shaloi b'derech tzivui. You didn't tell the Ein Yehudi to turn off the light. And you didn't say any mention of the malacha that you want done. You didn't mention that you want the light turned off, right? So l'chayr, it's remiza shaloi b'derech tzivui. Mamish, straight out mutter. Even mutter, it sounds like on a daraisa. So, right? That's what it sounds like. So now you want to go out on the street and you want to find a guy and you want to say to the Ein Yehudi, could you help me out for a minute? Uh-oh, you just blew it. You went out and you called over an Ein Yehudi. You said, could you please help me out? Once you said, could you please help me out? This is no longer remiza shaloi b'derech tzivui. This is already tzivui. The fact that you called the Ein Yehudi over makes it derech tzivui. So this is why we have to be so careful with this halacha over here. People take this halacha way, way, way too far. And they go and they use this remiza shaloi b'derech tzivui in ways that are not mutter. Now, I'll give you a case where it is mutter. You happen to have an Ein Yehudi in your house. Maybe you have a live-in. So you have an Ein Yehudi in your house. And the Ein Yehudi is upstairs by the bedrooms. And you notice that the light in the bedroom is on. So the Ein Yehudi is there. So you could look and you could say, oy, I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight because the light is on. Okay? It's shaloi b'derech tzivui. You didn't mention the malacha. Now the Ein Yehudi comes and turns off the light. You're okay. Not a problem. So there are cases where remiza shaloi b'derech tzivui is going to be mutter. But there are cases where it's not going to be mutter. So this is why I keep on saying, if you have such a shaila, and you want to know what you can ask an Ein Yehudi to do and what you cannot, you need to ask a shaila. I'll tell you another problem. Sometimes you use remiza shaloi b'derech tzivui. And you know what Chazal say? Dai l'chakima b'remiza. It's enough for a chacham, for a wise person, to be given a hint. But that's only for a wise person. Some people that are not wise, they need a lot more than a hint. So what happens if your Ein Yehudi is standing there by the bedroom and you say, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight because the lights are on. And now the Ein Yehudi looks at you and says, oh, okay, what should I do? You can't say turn off the light, right? You can't say, what do you think? If they say, do you want me to turn off the light? You can't say yes. What you could do is, you could say, I don't know, I can't tell you what to do. All I can tell you is I can't sleep. That you could do. But that's why there's a lot of details here and a lot of complexities here that go into this halacha. And I can't urge you enough, if you have such a shaila, you need to ask a shaila. Okay, let's just go a little bit further here and finish up Mishnah Berurah Ois Katan Ayin Vav. Says the Mishnah Berurah Vayter. Now, there's another problem here. And that is that something that has come up over and over again since whenever we've discussed Shilas of Amir La'akum is that besides the Shilah of what's mutter and what's usser in the context of the Amir La'akum, in the context of giving the instruction to the Ein Yehudi to do Malacha, there's an independent Shilah. And that is, once an Ein Yehudi does Malacha for you, are you allowed to receive the benefit of that malacha? We just had over here a Sif Chaf where we said that if an Ein Yehudi does malacha for you on Shabbos, you're not allowed to receive benefit from that halacha until after Shabbos. Not only until after Shabbos, but you have to wait b'chdei sheyaseh. So what happens over here? Fine. We're saying that Remiza Shaloi B'der Tzivu is not considered a Mira Lakum. But the bottom line is, if the Ein Yehudi turns on the lights in your dining room, now you sit down by the Suda Shabbos, you're going to receive Hana. How are you allowed to partake of the benefit of the Malacha that the Ein Yehudi did on your behalf? Says the Mishnah Berurah, the Ein Lesser Mitam Shenena Mi Malacha Sha'asa Ein Yehudi B'Shvilai. In these cases, we're not going to aser you receiving the benefit of the malacha that was done by the Ein Yehudi, because at least in the examples that the Mishnah Berurah gave, he says these are not considered such significant benefits. Let's realize, what were the cases that the Mishnah Berurah gave? The Mishnah Berurah said, you're trying to sit and you're trying to chazer daf yomi by an oil lamp, and there's a coal at the tip of the oil lamp. All right. So you used Remiza Shaloi B'der Tzivoi, and the Ein Yehudi went, and he knocked off the coal at the tip of the wick, and now it's burning better. Okay, you were able to read before, but you had to strain your eyes. Now you're going to read without straining your eyes. Says the Chafetz Chaim, that's not enough of a hana that we're going to turn around and we're going to aser the hana. That's an insignificant hana. So that's one heter. One heter is when the hana is an insignificant hana, then you're allowed to receive that hana. There's another case where the hana becomes mutter, and that is in cases where the hana that you're getting is not a direct hana from exactly the malacha that the Ein Yehudi did. I'm trying to think of a specific case of that. Let me think for a minute. Okay, I'll give you a case. When you use Remiza Shaloi B'derech Tzivoi to get the Ein Yehudi to turn off the light in the bedroom, the Issur D'Rabbanan that the Ein Yehudi did was extinguishing the light. But the darkness that you get because of the absence of the light, that's not considered a direct benefit from the malacha of turning off the light. And therefore, it's an indirect benefit you're allowed to get. Okay, we're going to pause over here. Thank you so much for joining me for Liban HaTorah. This is the Liban HaTorah. Should be Megan against Klal Yisrael. The Rebbe Hashem should send Yeshua Sefuris Parnas and Shetuchim to all those in need. We should be zeichet to see the B'Yeskal Tzedek B'Meher V'Yameinu. Amen. Be well.